Blog Talk Radio.
Check, one, two.
Welcome to Flavors. Sit down. Have a cup of flavor.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome. Come on in, sit down and relax. I'm going to be celebrating 4 years on the air today. November of 2009 is when I first started doing radio. Never thought that I'd still be here. Never thought that I would even actually grow to love doing this. But I do. I love it. I'm blessed to be able to share some amazing talents with the listeners all over the world. I appreciate all of you. My listenership has grown so much. I'm very, very blessed. My girl Neo Soldier is going to be joining me here in a bit to help me celebrate today. So just sit back, relax. I'm going to share some stories, some thoughts, and some great, great music. It started back in 2009. And yes, I'm going to say this, you know, but this particular track, this is when this song was actually created. I was the first one to play it here on Flavor News Radio or anywhere in the world. I'm going to play for you My Family's Peace, I Love My Life by Black Stax.
He had a hard time loving me. I hope he never feels how that felt. But he showed me a few things I can't keep to myself. I'll share them with his grandchild, whom he has never ever met. But I wouldn't change a thing, 'cause that would change everything. Change a thing, 'cause that would change everything. Oh, ooh, I love my life. Caused pain and misery. I lived my life as a lie and sang some truth in between. Now every day we look around, we could be someplace else. Someday we'll travel far, my friends, but for today, this is the place. Hey. Wouldn't change a thing, 'cause that would change everything. Change a thing, 'cause that would change everything.
Again, welcome to Flavor Coffee House online radio style. Today I'm celebrating with my girl, Neo Soldier.
my 4 years on the radio. I can't believe it, and I'm here, and I love it, and never thought that this would be what my life is about. Welcome to Flavor Coffee House, Neo.
Hey, Mama, how you doing? Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary. Happy anniversary.
It's so funny, you know, just out of like nowhere, I realized, you know, this is November, and let me count back on my fingers how many years have I been doing this, and it kind of surprised me. You know, I don't pay attention to those kind of things. You know, when it comes to myself, I'm much better at paying attention to it, you know, what's going on with other people.
Yeah. But, you know, when you love what you do, you know, time doesn't have any, you know, it doesn't bear any meaning on it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because we're not looking at how long it's been or anything like that. It's, I mean, it's a part of me doing music or anything like that. I'm sure as it is with you, when it comes down to absorbing the arts, it's so much a part of my oxygen that runs through my blood, you know, that
right.
I don't think about how long I've been doing it. It's just part of who I am.
Right, right. Well, and I think that you're right. Because I think about your story and other creative souls' story and how much it is a part of who you are, you know, mm-hmm. and how passionate it is that you are about creating and how passionate, yeah. and in a sense, kind of scary it is, you know, to be able to step out there and share what you've created with others. I think I feel a sense of that also. You know, it's something I live and breathe, I think about. I think that's where my problem is when it comes to focusing on something that I really have to take any time to
mm-hmm.
do. It's easier for me to bounce back and forth, you know,
mm-hmm.
on things than to just, like, sit down and read a book or anything like that anymore. And I think it's just because my mind is so all over the place wanting to make sure that everything is done right. And sometimes I do worry, like, okay, am I effective? Am I doing this right? So I think that there is similarities in being the artist cheerleader to being the artist.
There is, you know, because you as a radio host, you know, I think about you and Teddy Bear Ford, who introduced us, and Epiphany Castro. You know, she's a performer, but she's, you know, had a show on Blog Talk for like 6 years. And, you know, you all are just as important as we are the artist, because you say, this is good, I'm going to play it, you need to listen to it, you know. And
right.
so you have the same risk factor. You know, when I create a poem or a song and I drop it online, it's sort of like having a baby. You know, it's like, here's my baby, isn't it pretty? You
mm-hmm.
know, and people either go, oh, what a nice baby, or they go, oh, God, that baby's awful, you know.
right.
And you and I know by being radio hosts, you know, people have sent us their kids, and I'm like, wow, I think that was a preemie, you know. or,
right.
or you go, woo, I don't know, yeah, okay, that's a nice baby. You might want to keep it in the house. So when you are on the air, and you're telling us, you know, in this hour I'm playing this person, this person, this person, you have the same risk factor. You know, you're saying that, hey, I believe I have a good ear for quality music, and you need
mm-hmm.
to check this person out, you know. So let me ask you, because you know, I'm going to play the interviewer in this show, people, and, you know, for you all listening, we're going to have a conversation, but I'm going to be asking her questions. But I want to know, why did you get into it? I know why I started in radio. Why
mm-hmm.
did you start it?
You know, it's funny. I had, you know, not a membership, a subscription or whatever to Blog Talk Radio, probably in 2007.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I being on MySpace, you know, the place that was popular at that time. You know, I was introduced to Blog Talk over there and introduced to a variety of spoken word artists from around the world. And they would congregate online. And so that's where, like, I met Epiphany, probably was back in 2007. And, you know, just I started following the spoken word artists, you know, online. And I had hit the button one day and said, you know, let me sign up to be a radio show host. But I never did anything with it. And then in 2009, I had, you know, attempted to join forces with somebody, you know, when it comes to, you know, what I'm doing. I recognize I can't do it all by myself. And so I thought, I was, you know, somebody had reached out to me off of Facebook. We started communicating and stuff, and we sat down and had a great meeting and decided to kind of partner up in what I was doing under the umbrella of Blava News. Well, at that same time, really kind of shortly after that, we started kind of talking about radio. I said that I had signed up to be a radio show host, but also at the same time, Dwayne Allstead with Soul City Radio was doing Blog Talk Radio.
Okay.
And he was like, you know, Flava, would you consider doing a show on Soul City Radio, you know, for us? And I'm like, okay, I'm not sure why you're reaching out to me, but okay, let's explore that.
Right.
But, and at that time, you know, they thought about, they thought we could do multiple shows in one day, and we weren't able to. You know, because you're only allowed one show per day on Blog Talk Radio.
Right.
And so that didn't work out because they had this whole lineup of shows they were doing. It was really kind of exciting. So then LA and I decided, you know what, let's just go ahead and just launch it over, you know, on your account on Blog Talk Radio. And so that happened in November of 2009. It started out actually being called The Mosaic Show with Flava in LA. And, you know, and the song that I opened up the show with, I Love My Life, was one of the very first songs that I played. It's by a group, Black Stacks, who I work really, really closely with here in Seattle. That particular song has gone global. They have an amazing following. They're being played all over the world. They have been featured in, you know, the media all over the world based off of that song. And so, you know, and even at that, you know, I didn't know where things would go with, you know, Black Stacks. So, yeah, that's kind of how it all kind of fell into my lap.
Wow. I think that, you know, it's interesting because you said, hey, let me get an account with Blog Talk Radio, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you know, it wasn't a, I think I want to be a radio, and I'm laughing because I did the same thing.
Okay.
You know, I don't even remember, somebody had interviewed me on Blog Talk Radio, and I don't remember who it was, and I know, you know, nobody's going to get offended because I've been on a lot of different shows, not just as Neo Social the Artist, but, you know, I'll just call in and go, hey, how you doing? And it was one of those shows, and I'm like, hey, what a cool format. I was going to start it as a communication circle, though, because I have worked with people in grief recovery and in, you know, building healthy relationships and being healed from emotionally transmitted diseases, which is what I call it. And so that's what I was going to do. And I did the same thing you did. I signed up and, you know, never, somewhere out there, there's a floating account for Neo Soldier that I can't even access anymore because I don't remember.
Okay.
That's how long ago it was.
Right.
You know, and what I love, though, is when I did finally start doing this, a station owner came to me the way they did to you, and that was Jazzy B over at Blues Jazz Radio. He's like, hey, how about putting together a spoken word show for my radio station? And me being a poet, and there not being a lot of platforms for it, for what he was talking about, I'm like, hey, let me do that. And when I say what he was talking about is a show where you didn't call in, but you featured quality spoken word that was recorded. You know, because there are a lot of artists out here that record, and you don't get a chance to really hear them unless you hear, you know, hear them on your show. or, you know, they happen to call in and go, hey, I've got this, or we play one or two of their songs, but really, really keep them in rotation along with indie music. And I didn't want to talk, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't want to talk. I don't want people calling in. And it wasn't that, I don't think that's a great format, but there's already a lot of that format, and I didn't want to compete with you guys. I'm like, you know, I'm going to support them and call into their show, and I'll just be, you know, the quiet DJ and just play stuff, you know. So what I appreciate about you, though, is the dialogue that you have with the artists that come onto your show. So throughout this show, you know, I'm going to ask you a couple of hard questions. You're running the control board, so you know if anybody's calling in or anything like that.
Right.
You know, stop me at any time and go, okay, hey, we got a caller. But let's get into some of the hard stuff, because you are now a representative of A&R for Spectrum Music Group. Yay!
Yay!
Man, that is major. That is major. People, you don't realize how major that is. That means that the record label says, we trust your ear. You play good music, so you know what good music is, and we're going to let you choose for us. How about that?
Huh. You know, and even kind of like when I talked about radio, you know, this this relationship and connection with Spectra Music Group kind of fell into my lap, too. This is when I talk about on the radio, when I talk about on the social networks that you never know who is watching. This
right.
is when you don't know.
Right.
You know, I'll be honest with you, just one day on Facebook, you know, I'm going back and forth. Somebody had posted this picture of Jay-Z's nose and said, this is what Beyonce wakes up to every morning. And so, you know, we just started kind of clowning on that, right? I had no idea who this gentleman was that was just really going back and forth with me on Jay-Z's nose. And
okay.
I mean, he was just a fool, right? I'm like, okay, ha, ha, ha. Sometimes I take the time and click on somebody's name to see who they are, where they're from or anything, but I didn't do that with him.
Wow.
I thought, this is fun. And then one day he reached out to me and he said, you know, Lady Flava, if you know of any quality artists that are ready to go, let's talk, you know. And I was like, okay. You know, I mean, there are plenty of times when people reach out to me. And I'm sure the same with you, Neil, that, you know, they're kind of blowing smoke up your butt, right? Like, what does that even really mean, right?
Exactly.
Call me. Okay, what are you going to do? I mean, there's been so many people who claim to be record labels, claim to be managers, claim to be promoters and stuff, and it's just all janky stuff, you know? So I didn't jump on it.
Okay.
And then one day, you know, as I was, like, you know, working with the artists that I work with and just really paying attention to the quality of the music, not all of the music, because I will admit, not every single piece I play on Flava News Radio is top quality.
True.
But when I started really paying attention to the music that I play and the artists that I play and who has that whole package and who doesn't, I said, you know what, let me reach out to this guy and actually have a phone conversation with him.
Okay.
And just see what does he really have to offer artists.
Okay.
And so we finally had that phone conversation, and it was just really interesting. And, you know, kind of based off of that, next thing you know, I'm being offered certain things to come on board with him, to come on board with Spectra Music Group and other things under his umbrella.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, is this, like, real? Still, I'll be honest, Neil, I didn't jump on it. And I wanted to see paperwork. Okay, again,
right.
How many times do people reach out to us and say, oh, let's do this,
yes,
let's do that,
yes,
right?
Yes,
and again, I'll use the term janky. You know, it really wasn't anything, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm like, okay, let me just go about my business. When I see the paperwork, then we can
talk. Right.
You know, but I stayed in communication with them, and I said, okay, I haven't seen the paperwork or whatever. And then the paperwork arrived. And it was legit.
Okay.
You know, it was a really sweet deal. And you know, I think that even at this point, I still haven't really, really absorbed what it all means and the responsibility that goes along with it. But I will say this, it's pretty exciting, you know, because, Neil, you've been following me for a while, and
right.
and please cut me off because you know I can talk, girl.
No, no, go ahead. This is
but, but, you know, I have been wanting to build a movement.
Mm-hmm.
I really believe that we, as a collective, if we built together, we could take things so much further.
Right.
And, you know, so I started this thing that I called the Flava News Movement. And I asked for people to give a dollar a month. And it wasn't necessarily that dollar that really mattered. It was the commitment that mattered to me more. But I realized that even in my own personal financial world, if you put a dollar aside or you fill that coin jar up, it accumulates. And then you can all of a sudden take that and do something.
Yeah.
And I recognize the fact that for so many creative souls, one of the things that hinders them from moving forward is the lack of finances.
Mm-hmm.
My dream, my ultimate dream is under the umbrella of Flava News is to create a artist grant foundation and
right.
to be able to have money available to artists to apply for to complete a project or to go towards completing a project. And so I thought, this is a great way. I can get all these people who claim they love me, they're following me, they believe in what I say, they're great
mm-hmm.
artists, they're fans, you know, they're businesses. Let's all put an effort in together. And there were people that jumped on that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was like nothing, you know. My
right.
whole thing is I would be willing to play you on my station, feature you on the leopard carpet, put
mm-hmm.
you out to different social networks, put you on my website, put you, you know, blog about you, all those things.
Right, right.
And it didn't matter.
Yeah.
And in the end, there was no reposting. I was the only one doing all the work.
Yeah.
And I remember an artist sending me a money order for $12 to pay a whole year for, you know, a dollar a month.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent me a message and asked me what I was going to do with that $12.
Sure.
And I thought to myself, you know what, if I wanted to go to McDonald's and buy a Big Mac meal, I can do that with your $12. Because I don't work for $12. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah,
it's not. And I was like, you go to the store, you spend more money on a pack of gum or a soda. And you don't
right.
question that.
Come on now.
You know what I mean? And so
mm-hmm.
I'll be honest with you, which I'm sure like you guys as creative souls feel at times, when somebody's not paying attention to what you're trying to create for them that you think is really makes sense and is good.
Right.
And they don't jump on it.
Right.
It kind of hurts, right?
Yeah, oh yeah. It most definitely does.
And it hurt me.
Yeah.
I'll be honest
yeah.
with you. It hurt
mm-hmm.
me. I felt like
mm-hmm.
I got to the point of begging people.
Right.
And I'm like, why am I begging artists or the people who claim to be fans of artists to join together to take this further? You know, so I kind of, you know, backed off of it, yet there were
mm-hmm.
people that joined the movement,
mm-hmm.
and I'm going to say something. You know what? I'm gonna say this. It's not something that I ever have talked about, you know, on the air. I've never talked about it publicly. But the people who consistently to this day pay towards the Flava News movement are white people. The majority of the artists that I support and fight for, in a sense, to be recognized
mm-hmm.
are African-American.
Mm-hmm.
But it's white people who are willing to pay. So why
you're
do you suppose that is?
You know what? You're not saying anything that's untrue, you know. And I know that there are probably a couple of people out there like, oh, you know. But
did she really say that?
I'm sure there are. You know, I'm sure there are. I blinked, but only because you were telling the truth. You know? Mm-hmm. But I know there are people, excuse me, out there that are going, oh my God. But you know what? It's very true. It's a very sad thing about my culture. We do not support each other. We do not. Mm-hmm. We absolutely do not. That has been my absolute source of frustration. Being a radio host, you have no idea. You know, right. I mean, when I started it and I reached out to all the people I know. I know some incredible poets, and I'm sure that some of them are listening, and I hope some of them are listening, and, you know, because we don't support each other, some of them probably aren't. But, you know, I reached out to them like, hey, I got this platform. All I need you to do. Now, all you asked for was a dollar. All I asked them to do was send me an email with an MP3 in it. Did I get it? No.
Mm-hmm.
No. So 60% of my show is not only white, but comes from the United Kingdom.
Right.
It's an American thing as well.
Right.
You know, we have a love-hate relationship with the arts here in the United States. And I heard this minister use this quote one time when he was teaching. He said, familiarity breeds contempt. You can become so familiar with something and so used to it being around that there's a borderline of contempt up under it. And it doesn't mean you necessarily hate, but your responses to being a good steward over it breeds hate.
Right.
Meaning that we're so used to the arts being here that we don't pay it any attention like we should. We don't support our artists the way we should. We don't support the media the way we should at any level, you know. And I know that I'm pretty sure you're experiencing this now, you know, where people, like that rapper said, you know, first they didn't know me, now they all up on me. You know, they wouldn't send you anything or wouldn't support you or anything like that. And then they see you doing something. It's like, hey, girl, congratulations. Is there anything I can do? What you need? You know.
Okay,
because I know that you know things, and I'm so glad for you. And, girl, here's my latest. You know, I don't know if you need this or not. Yeah, I get it. I do.
I
totally get it. And it's a sad thing in my community because we have such a rich, rich culture when it comes to music. The predominant sound of soul was bred in my bloodline, in the Black African-American bloodline. From that birthed gospel, jazz, blues, neo-soul, all these different things come out of that culture, yet they don't support each other. So I'm not surprised at that, not at all. I know of artists, I can think of an international artist right now, the lady that named me, Babbie Mason. I'd say probably 80% of her following is from another culture, and she's Black.
Hmm.
You could put her in a Black church. I've told people this, and I've seen it. You put her in a Black church, and unless it's a really big, well-known Black church with a bunch of white people, you won't see she won't fill the house. Put her in one of your churches. You can't get in the door. It's like trying to go see Michael Jackson for free.
Right.
I've seen it. They stand outside in line.
It's so interesting to me, you know, because I have all of these sidebar conversations, right? And a lot of my posts and things that I talk about on the air come from those sidebar conversations that nobody ever wants to go public about, you know. And this is one of the things that I have. You know, all the artists that I work with are African American and all. And we have this conversation about who financially supports them as artists, you know, who wants to get in free, you know, to their shows or, you know, whatever it is, who wants their product for free, who's willing to pay. And I was just thinking about this the other day because, you know, somebody recently, you know, signed up to join the movement and went to PayPal and paid, and it was another white artist, you know. And I thought, this is just really, really interesting to me. The other thing that, since we're kind of talking about that, Neo, like you had mentioned, when I became A&R for Spectra, which was back in October, well, officially we'll say October. It kind of was the end of September. You know, when I officially put it out there, when Spectra officially put it out there, you know, that was pretty exciting. People were thanking me, or not thanking, congratulating me, and, you know, all of these posts. And Chico was like, wow, look at all the people that are following you. And I said, you just didn't know who you brought on board, did you?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but people prior, let's say 3 months prior to this all taking place, you know, I'd put out posts, they'd think it was coming straight from me, and then they would say, Lady Flava, you know, what is it you're trying to do? And, you know, people don't want to build with people until they see them successful. And I'm like, are you serious? Like, what is that all about? We're sitting here talking about wanting to do the kumbaya thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're all like, let's gather together, let's hold hands, let's support. We publicly post that all the time. We talk about it takes a village to raise a child. It takes a village to raise an artist, you know what I mean? And so we talk about this publicly, yet behind the scenes you're saying nobody wants to build with you until they see you successful. But the funny thing is those very people who said that to me, Neil,
mm-hmm.
were willing to accept my help. For them to help them build.
Right.
So I'm like, that's really interesting. If you didn't want my help with certain things, then say, you know what, Flava, you don't have to help me. I don't need you.
Right.
You know what I mean? But they accept it. They would make sure that I was aware of what was going on with them. There are very few. There are very few people who repost for me. There are very few artists who tell anybody that I play their music. Very few. And like you said, those very artists are the ones who are now reaching out to me now that they know I'm with Spectra.
Of course. Of course. You know, we don't realize, and when I say we, I say artists, and I don't mean every artist. So, you know, if you're not guilty of that, don't take it personally. But we as artists don't realize how important relationships are as artists. You know, for the past, probably for the past 24 hours, lady, I've been laying here or walking around or whatever I was doing, but constantly in my mind I've been thinking, you know what, I would love to get into artist development. Because that is sorely missing. You know, I have the new show, The Game Changers, and the last interview that I recorded was with a gentleman named Daniel Azur. He is working with EPMD now. He's the senior vice president of EPMD's company. And, you know, they have worked with everybody from, you know, Angie Stone, 50 Cent, Common, Beyonce, Jay-Z, everybody. So he's mainstream multimedia. And we were talking about that very thing. You know, we were talking about the reality shows like X Factor and American Idol and, you know, The Voice and how it's quicksand.
Right.
And they're not taught the essentials. And I think that is so missing in the community. You know, last night I was watching the replay of X Factor, and Kelly Rowland was talking about that because they were doing a show about Motown. And she said, a lot of you all don't realize, but Motown, there were houses stacked one next to each other. One house, they taught you about etiquette. One house, they taught you about public speaking. And another one, they taught you about, you know, how to behave in the open market. And as artists, we have not learned how to develop healthy relationships. Some of us will talk to people and get to know them in order to do a collab so you can say they're on your CD.
Right.
And that's it.
Right.
That's it.
You know what, Neil? Let me bring somebody in because they're calling and I think they're on roaming time. So let me bring them in.
Go right ahead.
Before I get kicked in the butt.
Oh, no.
Yeah. All right, Alvin Lloyd, Alexander Horn.
Don't start no mess, there won't be no mess. I have been holding. I'm on roaming charges. That's real love and support. Here I'm down to ATL having a good time, but I take time out for you two. Y'all need to show some respect and knowing that you're getting some real love. And as far as you, Neil, let me tell you something. When I walk down your block and I see those, you walking in the stilettos, I'm going to run up on you and knock you down and take them and go pawn them. Now, that's how I feel about you. Now, that's real love, okay? All right? Don't talk no mess because you know it's on.
You didn't
take the pill. This is my colleague, Joe Frazier. Come with your best or later for the rest.
I have told you about calling in without your medicine, haven't I? Haven't I told you about that?
Yeah. You keep taking it. That's the problem. You keep taking my meds. I'd be fine. You know? But no, you keep taking my meds.
That's that imaginary lady you keep calling, Neil, that you think is me. I'm not taking your medicine. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that keeps putting it back.
Yeah.
Hello, Alvin. How you doing?
I'm all right. How you doing, baby girl?
I have no complaints. None at all. It's been 4 years for Flavor. How about that?
You know, I'm so proud of her because there's those times in anything you start, you have lean times. You know, and if you stay through those lean times, that's fortitude, that's heart, that's dedication, that lacks in the true artist sense. You know, Lady Flavor is not an artist in the sense that we look in far as playing an instrument, singing everything, but she's an artist in the fact that she's suffering just like most artists. That she has to put the work, time, and dedication in. And a lot of people don't look at that when you have people supporting you, that there's a lot of effort on their time. There could be missed meals and opportunities and fun things they miss out because they're supporting people 100% because that's their art that they're dedicating to. And so many people have foolish thoughts and think that it's no big deal. Oh, yeah, she's shouting me out. No, it's a whole lot more because she could be doing something else for her family, for herself.
Right.
And a lot of people don't respect that. They have no idea what's that about and everything. It's kind of like the roadie who loads all that heavy equipment, packs it just right so that if somebody needs something, they unpack and set the stage right and everything. And when the audience sits in the crowd, they don't see that. They don't know what that's all about. All they hear is the great notes and the great performance, but they don't know all the people who are behind the scene who are doing the work. Well, that's Lady Flavor. She's doing, has always been supportive like that. She's been setting the stage, making it possible for people to do things and to grow. And I know she's missed a few meals. And I mean that metaphorically in the sense that she's had opportunities for herself, but she has sacrificed. So we need to stand up and say, start shouting people out like her, you know.
That's right.
And, of course, they don't give awards for that. Of course, of course they don't, you know, put your name in the billboards for that. Of course, we, you know, every once in a blue moon, somebody wins the award, but they go up there and say, I want to thank my mom and dad. You know, and they forget about the true people who are behind the scenes who are doing the work. So I want to shout her out right now that I'm proud of her. I know the sacrifice she's made. So, you know.
Here he go. You know what, Alvin, there's something you said that's very true. There's a lot of work that goes into this because there were a couple of times I just wanted to quit. It is so time-consuming. You know, it's more than just, okay, I'm going to get up, I'm going to call into my show, and we're going to sit and chit-chat. There are hours and hours and hours you pour over music, trying to find quality stuff, developing relationships with the artists. Then you have to actually come out to Blog Talk and load up the music, which could take an eternity. Blog Talk, I love you, but come on. You know, and you have you have to get it formatted, and you have to sit there. You have to sit there those 2 hours of that show, you know. So it does. It takes a lot of work. And she is an unsung hero. You know, we don't really understand, and that's what bothers me about the support issue. We don't really understand how much it takes to keep our music in the forefront of people's ears.
No.
You know, we really don't appreciate it. Until you've done it, you really don't appreciate it. You know, you send your record to a radio station, you go, here, play this, and they play, and you blast on your page, hey, yeah, they played my song, da-da-da. You don't know how long it took them to load it up, how to get it queued, you know, how to, and I don't know if you have this problem, Flavor. You know, I have an artist that I have to they'll send it to me 5,000 ways except the way I asked them to send it to me. And, you know, I mean, really, you know, I'm like, okay, I need you to send it an MP3 to this email. And I get MP4s, I get CDAs, I get, you know, they'll go to, they go, well, I love the really arrogant one. Here's my page, just choose something, as if everything you made was good. And, you know, I'm going to sit there and listen to all 18 albums that you have and find one song. You know, so it takes a lot of work and a lot of patience.
There's another side of that picture, too, because I'm on the radio now that, you know, I have a little national notoriety behind my writing and stuff. So mm-hmm. I'm on the radio sometimes 2 or 3 times a week, and mm-hmm. I would say probably out of a 2-week period, the host is not prepared. They can't even say my name right. They don't even know the name of my books. They just have invited me and posted that I'm having the author on my page, and then they don't know nothing about how I write, what I write, what I'm known for. And so it's also the preparation, just not, you know, instead of downloading, the host has to do their homework in order to have a successful show that I, as an artist, want to come back to. Because it's a two-way street. They're using me for their own popularity, in a sense. So if you have a host that's not prepared, it's a real irritant and everything. So you have a two-way street. So when you do have a host like Lady Flavor that's always prepared, she has her stuff, her ducks lined up, she tells you in advance what's going on. I've listened in. I said, okay, she's got her stuff going on. That is the mark of someone who is a professional and aiming for higher goals. Because I've seen the downside of it. Some of these shows that I get invited, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to get off of this show. They're making me look bad because they're bad. So there's another side of that thing. You just can't have everybody setting your equipment up. That's where you have feedback on your stage. You know what I'm saying? Not everybody can be that roadie.
That's true.
Well, you guys are doing really good there, huh? And Alvin, I'll send you that check, you know, you can just come by the house and I'll pay you for saying all those great things about me.
Buy your medicine. Buy your medicine. Alvin, please. You know what? I want to ask you a question because I know that you have been with Lady for years, and you go all the way back to the days of the actual live open mic coffee house. I want you to share with us, because I love when people do this, share with us a really funny story about you and Lady. I'm sorry, Lady.
You know, I'm a big out of that one.
Uh-oh.
Oh, my. Okay, let's not do that. Thank you, Colin.
I can share stories about him.
Oh, no. I'm sure you could.
I tell you what, something was really interesting that happened at a show. We had a live show, and some really great talent would come through quite often. You know, and I know you've seen this. Someone has a 2-minute poem, but they got to tell you a 5-minute story about writing the poem. You know,
it's like the most irritating thing in the world. Yes.
Can you just tell your poem and everything? And we had a young man come in who might have had some, he had some mental struggles, but he was so talented. I mean, he just was just awfully talented. He just could, like, amazed. And, you know, he had been on our stage before as, you know, Flavor Coffee House open mic, doing great work, and he came in and he got his coffee and he chit-chat and we jammed off some, you know, just some off-period times. But this one time he came to the stage either off of his meds or too much of other meds, you know, that were not prescribed. And we had a house full of people, and he disrupted the show. And he had to be restrained in the middle of the show and had to be put out. And, you know, we waited for the police to come, and they were dragging their feet. And eventually we were able for him to go away, and nobody left. They waited for the show to continue. And this had to be 20 minutes, half an hour later. And to the point that, you know, people came back on in after she left. And that was the kind of place that she had, that they knew this wasn't her. They knew this wasn't about her place. This was an individual. And everybody stayed and talked about it even the day before, like, the show went on. And that's the kind of place she ran. You know, everybody's invited. Everyone gets their opportunity, you know. But just one time, somebody stepped out of line. But after we handled that situation, the show went on. We had, you know, good fun, you know. And that's the kind of place she ran.
The funny thing is that Neil, out of that particular situation, it was Alvin that handled that situation. When I call him my big brother, he's my big brother. Alvin and I, we have fought, you know, we have loved each other for many, many years. And I have said this before, that if I was to lay down my life for somebody, it would be Alvin.
Nice.
He means that much to me.
Nice.
But he physically restrained that young man with his guitar. he played a guitar. And Alvin physically restrained him for 30 minutes. It took that long for the police to come.
Wow.
And Alvin did that. I mean, he's just like that. And then he came with me the next day and sat with me, you know, in the coffee house to make sure that I was okay. You know, he was my protector. He would jump up and just do anything, you know, for me. But I'll share a funny story. It's kind of a general story when it comes to Alvin and I at the coffee house. But, you know, he's an erotic poet.
Mm-hmm.
He does do things that are not erotic, but for the ladies, we'll just say that's what he's known for.
Pretty much, yeah. And good.
And they would come in the door. Man, there could be six women in the coffee house, like, winking and squirming and, you know, and sitting there and being his sister, like, I just wanted to go up to all of them and say, stop.
Okay,
just, like,
really?
Stop yourself. It is not that serious.
Mm-mm.
You know, they would put a dress on and their hair was done and makeup on at a coffee shop for an open mic. And I'm like, that really, you know, he's laughing. He loves it. But, you know, sometimes as his sister, that just really made me uncomfortable, because I'm like, I would see them. And he and I at some point would make eye contact, or, you know, we'd pass each other or something and whisper something in each other's ears. And I'm like, that is just, like, ridiculous.
Yes, I understand.
You know.
And I was so professional, too, right?
Yes, he was. He was very professional. I mean, he did his thing as the actor and performer he is, you know. But, you know that he knew that they were all going to show up. Or he had an idea it was going to be more than one. And it was like, you know, then afterwards they were like, can we go to dinner with you? Let's go have drinks, you know, whatever. And I'm like, you just, like, really stop. You know, like, he's going home with me, you know, or something. You know, it was just like, it's so crazy, you know. But, you know, I would call Alvin, like, you know, Mr. Flavor in a sense. I mean, because he was there. Mm-hmm. He was a part of the fixture of Flavor. You know, his book, Perfect Circle, was written at Flavor Coffee House, the majority of it. If you haven't read it, you need to read it, because, you know, Flavor Coffee House is actually in that book.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do.
And, you know, but honestly, Neil, Alvin and I go back to when I was in high school.
Wow.
That's how long he and I have known each other.
You've suffered with him.
Yep.
I mean, you've known him all that time.
Yeah, I've known him back to those days. He has pictures of me when I was skinny, you know, like, had no meat on me yet. I always thought that I was a thick girl. But, you know, the pictures he has of me, I was skinny, you know, back then. But, yeah, he's known me over half of my life. So it didn't just start at Flava. It's just we reconnected through Flava.
How about that? That, you know what,
that part of the story we'll leave out.
Yeah, we will.
Okay. Sounds scandalous. Okay.
Well, it tells more about his business than my own.
And that's why I thought he wanted to leave it out. Exactly. Well, you know what? But I love that part of your sharing and about how long you all have been friends. I just said that. We don't know how to develop healthy relationships.
Yeah.
You know, it bothers me that we kind of tend to use each other, you know, and I'm saying that because on my page, there are times on my page, like within the past 24 hours, I've seen people drop links on my page to their music. I haven't heard from them, and I don't know when, you know, or I call them like, hey, I have a show, you know, send me some material, I play it on my show, and they act like you're doing them a favor.
Right.
And, you know, we don't have any real relationship. It's all about who can I use to help me get to where I need to be.
Right.
And I think that it's a beautiful thing that you all have that the heritage that you do. Now, I will say some things, and, you know, I'm going to tell you now, Alvin, you're just going to have to download the show and replay it back because you'll never hear me say this about you again. Alvin is quality people. He is. He's quality people. And he's really a quality guy. I will never forget my birthday. This man called me. Not only did he call me, but he was the first person to call me, out of all of my friends. He called me with his guitar, and he sang me, like, the best birthday song ever. And I'm sitting here, and I'm grinning from ear to ear. I'm like, man, how cool is that?
Yeah.
You know, it's a little bitty thing. It's a little bitty things that count. And when you're talking about this industry, when so many people want to use you that are not even behind the mic, let's not talk about us, you know, one to another. Let's talk about the people that are in that side of the industry that you're in, lady. You know,
mm-hmm.
the AM and the PR and the managers and the label owners and the booking agents and the promoters and the, you know, the personal managers and business managers. So many of them are leeches, and they suck the life flow from artists that we forget that we need these healthy relationships on this side to fortify each other, because you are stepping into an arena that is full of people who are predatory. Everybody,
yes.
Hear me, people, everybody in this game does not want to see you succeed for the reason that you want to see you succeed. You know, I want to see Alvin succeed as an artist and as an author because, you know, I do some erotic poetry as well, but Alvin, I can tell you, is one of three, and I do mean three, male poets and five poets, period, who write erotic poetry that I read because so much of it is vulgar. I call it poemnography. You know, it's not poetry at all. It's just word porn. He paints beautiful pictures. He's very metaphoric. And the theme of the thread that he's going for throughout the poem is always, it's always knowledgeable. It draws you in, and it leaves you satisfied. You know, you don't come away from it. I've read some poetry, erotic poetry, and I felt like, you know, I needed a shower afterwards. It just felt nasty, you know. And I appreciate that out of him. But there are people who will not want to see him progress because he's a good author. They're going to want to be associated with him because he's going to make them look good. Like you said, when they have you on their radio show, they can say, oh, yeah, I interviewed Alvin, and I had this person, and I had that person, I did this, and I did that. And, yes, as our radio show host and everything else, it does help when we have these names behind us. You know, I mean, I first went on Teddy Bear's show because he sent me a list of people he had interviewed. That shows me, as an artist, that he has some credibility.
Mm-hmm.
So, that I'm not about
time
to be on
the show. Time out, ladies. I have forgot. I'm roaming here in Alaska.
Okay.
Good night. Good afternoon. I will
we
talk
love
to
you.
You again. Let's do this again. I love you.
I love
I
you too.
All right.
Thank you
Neil.
So much, Alvin.
Be good.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you, Alvin.
All right.
You guys later.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah. when I'm roaming, I didn't even know phones still did that. Really? Alvin, we got to get you a new phone. Now you're off the phone. I'm going to talk about you. Do we?
Right.
Me? I didn't even know phones still did that. Okay. I know they do internationally, and it could be the type of service he has. You know, he's all big time now. But, you know, but, it, you know, to finish the thought, we do have people out here who don't support for the right reason. You know,
right.
They're all about themselves and everything. You know, how do you, and now this is me sitting at the table of someone who has done this for a while, because I've only been on the air now a little bit over, let's say it'll be a year. Well, I've been on the air now for 9 months. I didn't realize it'd been that long. But, yeah, you know, like you said, time flies.
Right.
Me, I'm a complete newbie. I'm an infant at this. Sitting at the table of someone experienced, how do you keep your passion for this in the face of what I just said, with so many predators and so many people who want to use you for that moment and then discard you? How do you keep your passion for this? What keeps you going?
Well, to be honest, you know, I don't want this to sound corny, but I believe this is a journey that God put me on.
Okay.
And so it kind of starts there. You know, I know that anything that we face, that we believe in, and that we feel we have a calling for is not going to be easy.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Baptist minister's daughter. So
mm-hmm.
I come by what I do naturally because I witnessed the adults in my world being caretakers and nurturers and ones that fought for other people's rights and feelings. And so I come by it naturally. I don't know at what point I realized that it wasn't easy for my dad or it wasn't easy for my godmother and who they were in the community and
mm-hmm.
fighting for other people. And so I did recognize the fact that it wasn't going to be an easy journey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a Cancer. I'm emotional and sensitive, so I do get my feelings hurt.
Mm-hmm.
I definitely had to learn to open up my eyes and in a sense, step back and not trust everything that was presented to me because
mm-hmm.
I was pretty gullible, you know.
Okay.
I was pretty gullible when it came to a lot of creative souls. If you gave me a good spiel and what I saw looked good,
mm-hmm.
Then it made sense to me because I was all about, you know, that presentation, you know, being able to do the homework and, you know, seeing, you know, I talk about people being able to be Googleable. I did my research, you know.
Right.
Those
right.
that are closest to me would know I did my research. But even in doing that, Neil, I've been burned.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and so there's a whole lot of things that have happened to me, you know, throughout supporting artists that really should have turned me away from ever doing it again.
Right. Same.
You know.
Yeah. I get where you're coming from. I do. You know, I have. I've been burned a lot. You know, I have been ignored a lot. I have been disregarded a lot, you know, and it's been bittersweet for me as an artist, you know, because there are people I've been introduced to as a poet, and they disregard me as a singer, and which really that I struggled with probably for the past maybe 2 years. It was really, really, like really a bone-crushing, painful thing because I've sang my whole life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been calling a couple of years. And it was hard for me, you know, and it's hard when you stick your art out there. You know, you say, hey, this is what I want to do, and this is how I want to present things. You know, you try to help people or you try to, you know, collab and work with people on whatever level. To have your hand slapped in it, it is very, very painful, and you're not being corny or cliche at all. It has to be a God-driven thing. You know, I mean, people, they, you know, a lot of people use religion as a fad, and to kind of stay current and relevant. But I believe what the scripture says, every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. You know, God is the ultimate creator. He is the baddest artist ever. If you don't think so, go outside and look at the sky on a cloudy day. You know, or go to a piece of undeveloped land that has wildflowers growing in it. Or go someplace where there is a cultured landscape and look at the beauty of the flowers that God has created and through the eyes of somebody else. He gave them the eye to be able to put together all of these flowers. And, yes, it's beautiful, but look at each intricate flower, the details on a flower or an exotic bird. You know what I mean? So he is the creator. He gave us his gifts to be creative. And this is something, I know that every art or genre or field of business has its own, you know, little, I call them worms. You know, like an apple can have a bunch of worms. It has people in there that are full of worms. But when it comes down to the arts industry, if God has not drove you to it, it will kill you.
Right.
It will.
It will, you know, and I'll tell some brief stories that people may, well, hopefully I'll tell them brief, that really devastated me to the point that I could have and should have walked away. In 2008, you know, I hosted a literary conference at Flava where artists and spoken word artists came from around the world, not the world, the United States. I was pretty proud of it, and I had partnered up with a literary group, if you want to call it a literary group. And it went really south. The conference went really, really well, and the people enjoyed it. We had a great turnout. Flava Coffee House was packed. You know, it was planned well. The city of Seattle, it was sponsored by a grant through the mayor's office here and recognized and all. But it went really bad. And it went bad because of the person whose main name went on it and the type of person that he is and the people that he worked with. And I've not ever really talked about it publicly, you know, what I went through. But in turn, out of that, because he had a female following, I joke about what happened with Alvin. And honestly, Neil, the woman came for Alvin to the coffee shop. They just did. And that's a fact. We joke about it, but it's a fact. The women flew to Seattle to see this guy. He had his choice of women, you know, when it came to his experience here. It really wasn't even about the literature. It was more about him. The core of our team that put on this event were women. And in the end, things went bad. All that crap was happening with the women, and they came at me. And they took it public. You know, they were bashing me and everything on MySpace, creating, you know, flyers and putting it out there and circulating, you know, all this stuff and putting it against me. Basically because I spoke my mind in not appreciating what took place. Because I took... The women were there. They were fighting in the hotel that I set up, you know, to get at him. You know what I mean? And it was like, how do women fall for a male and think that they're the only one, right? And then come out and just show their behind a man. But these women were willing to do it. He actually had women coming at me to try to defame me, you know what I mean? Because I didn't go along with the game. And so that really turned me, like, because I'm really big on pride. Whatever I put myself out there publicly with, I am going to be very proud about, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so this, I think, really, in a sense, took me away from my passion of literature. Up until that
mm-hmm.
point, I was a book reviewer
mm-hmm.
For APU. And, you know, I was the only non-African-American on this African-American book review team. I took that really serious. Then I became a book reviewer just on my own because the authors were sending me their books just as musical talents send their music. The authors were sending me their books. In turn, I would turn around and I would sell their books in my coffee shop. So
okay.
it was really easy because I had such a large following around the United States of African-American authors to do a literary conference in Seattle. That went so bad. I should have totally stepped away from it. And I think
right.
there's a
yeah.
part of me that still has not gotten my passion for literature back.
Okay.
Through being Lady Flava, I realized not all money is good money.
Say that again.
And I had an artist who seemed extremely professional, who seemed extremely talented
mm-hmm.
In the hip-hop genre here, approached
mm-hmm.
me about working with him.
Okay.
And I thought it was good. You know, everything that was presented to me seemed really, really solid. He made sense. His connections made sense. It all made sense. And
mm-hmm.
I ended up getting raped by him.
Wow.
And so there are things that have happened to me in my life. I should not still be helping artists, you know?
Right.
And that's why I say that this has to come from God.
Right.
This really has to come from God because otherwise, you know how you experience certain things and it just like women having, you know, or men having baggage because the relationship's gone bad.
Right.
You know, and it kind of makes you jaded and this and that and the other. The thing about who I am today, I've learned to be able to get on my knees and ask to forgive. Because
right.
I learned a long time ago if I held on to it, it would only damage me.
Mm-hmm.
Those
mm-hmm.
people who have violated me in my life, they continue living, right?
That's true.
They don't think twice about what they did to me, and if they do, they would never acknowledge it to anybody probably, you know. But what, you know, but what I had to do for my own sanity was
mm-hmm.
I had to let go and forgive.
That's right.
And it doesn't take me away. It doesn't take away from my belief in creative people.
Right. But, you know, all people are not good people,
mm-hmm.
you know. I just say that. I mean, just because somebody is exceptionally gifted, it doesn't mean they're a good person. Now, you know my saying, let's all say it together, integrity
mm-hmm.
trumps talent. You know,
right.
I've been saying that now for an eternity. And why do I keep saying it? Because it is the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, integrity trumps talent. It's not enough. It is not enough to be gifted. It's not. I don't care how gifted you are. If you're a pig, I'm over it.
Yeah.
You know, I had the, I was blessed to, and I've been blessed in my life to be able to do a lot of different things. And one of them, and I'll tread very carefully here, but one of them was doing some work for a major music event. And in this major music event were mainstream artists. There was one particular artist that gave them so much grief, unnecessary stuff. This artist was such a headache that they said it was that artist's first time being there and their last. Now, what hurt me about it was I have followed this artist's career for as long as I can remember.
Mm-hmm.
Part of the reason that I do what I do was because of this artist. And to see their behavior, and I mean, it was awful. absolutely awful. Just, you know, like I said, I'm treading carefully here because I know if anybody's listening and they know what events I've been a part of, if I started to explain the scenario, they'd know what I was talking about. And I don't want
right.
to, you know, I'm not going to add any disparaging remarks. And at the same time, I don't believe in celebrating people or giving people airtime and increasing their popularity through their ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
As a result of that, I have not been able to listen to their music anymore, period.
Of
period,
course.
Period.
Right.
You know, it just tore a hole into the fiber of my being. And I know how dramatic that sounds, but when somebody has influenced your music or your career or anything like that, you know, they then play an intricate part of your life. And we as artists don't realize that we are more responsible for, this is the best way to put it, and I was telling somebody that. You have the ability to affect somebody's life for the good or for the bad with what you do with your art. You need to be responsible. Once the lights go off and the microphone is put down and the sound is turned off and everybody goes home, are you the same person that gave them all that beauty, all that love on that stage, or do you become a monster? And if the answer is B, then you need to sit down and reevaluate yourself, because it is not all about the music. The industry today is so polluted with talented, ugly people. We don't need any more of that. If you're going to be an artist, be an artist. The part of the definition of calling it art is it's beautiful. So be a beautiful vessel. Let your art come through a beautiful person. Learn how to talk to people. Learn how to establish healthy relationships. Learn how to realize that everybody is not here to serve you. The ability to do music or do poetry or write a book or take a picture or dance, that's a privilege. It is not your right. You don't deserve this. Nobody owes you anything. We all work together as a community, and it is important that you realize your place in the community. While it is high, you also need to remain humble, because it makes no sense that, you know, we have people like Lady Flavor, or people like Neo Soldier or Alvin or, you know, Epiphany or so many other people who have given of their lives to be able to help promote this movement, and you bring toxicity with your art. You get what I'm saying, lady? You know, it's too many people out here that they have that beauty, and then they have the poison, and that poison spreads, and you get these little clicks of poison, like you get these little clicks of good, and they cannot work together. That's why we're so dysfunctional. You know, early in the show you were talking about the black versus the white culture. I know it's very prevalent in my culture. You know, I don't know about your culture because I'm not a part of it, but it's very prevalent in my culture, being very petty and very manipulative and very deceitful. And none of that has anything to do with art, none of it at all. You will get a lot farther with this art when you learn to respect the people who spend their money
on
your art.
That's right.
Who come out to shows and watch your art, who buy your art, who play your art, who promote your art. Be an artist. Don't be a can of worms with a really good talent. You know, and I don't care who that applies to. I don't care who's listening. You know, I'm like I said, I left names out of that because that's a very mainstream artist, and I don't want no backlash on that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't care who you are. You know, and sometimes I will name the person. You know, I was talking the other day about how we use people, and I mentioned Tyler Perry. You know, that my community is so torn about Tyler Perry, I think it's hilarious. You know, look, the man is powerful whether you like it or not. You know, you may not like what he does, and he's cooning to you and everything else, but you know what? I'd rather watch him run around the stage in a dress than see somebody behind up in my face in every single movie.
Right.
And I remember an artist that he had in one of his shows, Shamar Moore. He had him in one of his films, and now here this man is. He has opened the door for you to come in and do a film. And then when you're asked about him, you say that, you know, you give disparaging remarks about,
right,
you know, how you'd like to see him be stronger and this and stronger and that. Wait a minute. You knew who he was when you started working with him.
Right.
He's been the same person all this time. You know, and I've seen people do that. They'll go on the show and really be with, you know, I remember, and I'm, yeah, like I said, I'm naming names. I talked to Epiphany about that. You know, she's a radio host, but she's an artist as well. And this woman promotes everybody's art. And some of those same people will not promote hers. And she's a killer poet. Oh, my God, the woman's smoking. Her, she just dropped a project a couple of months ago. People don't even realize it. And I play her art on my show. The girl's bad with a paper and pen. She's sick. You know, and, but some of those same people will go to her, hey, girl, I got this. Or they'll call into her show and talk 25 minutes and do a three-minute poem, you know, and use people. And that, I don't tolerate. I'm sorry. I do not tolerate that. If I don't have a healthy relationship with you, hear me. I will not play your music.
Well, one of the things for me, Neil, and I appreciate what you're saying, and this is in a sense, you know, when I talked about this with you and what I wanted out of this particular show, you know, I said I wanted to tell my story. I wanted to share my honest thoughts. For those who follow me may know a bit about me. Others may be new. I kind of, in a sense, at this point, I wanted people to understand me a little bit better. You know, why I do what I do, why I think the way I think, and all of that. One of the things that I have learned in being the artist cheerleader and one who loves and supports the artist is that I don't want to get personally involved with them.
Yes.
And because in a sense, when you get personally involved with artists, you get to see a different side. And just kind of like what you said, that if something goes south with that relationship, man, I would not, it's, for me, I stop appreciating their art. So then it goes back to, what was the connection in the first place? Was it the art?
Right.
You know, or was it the person? So for me, sometimes it's easier to support the art than the person.
That's
so
true.
So when we do it on a business level, your package just has to be together. You know, if you approach me and you want to be treated as a professional, your package has to be together. I don't really want to know too much about you personally. You know, in a sense, because that can take away from something. I experienced something just this past week that took me down, you know, and I was like, ooh, you know, okay, where do I go? I mean, my blood pressure went up, and if anybody follows me, you know, I had a scare. I was put in the hospital this past year, earlier in the year. They thought I was having a heart attack, you know, and so I know that when it comes to my personal health, I have to be able to control stress.
Right.
I allowed somebody to take me there, somebody who I respect in this industry, big time, coming at me behind a situation in me being an A&R rep.
Wow.
And it really bothered me. It really bothered me because I was like, oh, because you sent somebody to me, I'm supposed to say yes? No, I don't have to say yes.
Right.
If you don't trust my ear and how I choose to do it, then you can kick rocks and keep moving.
Right.
Because when it comes down to anything, whether it's a Neo Soldier, whether it's a Spectre Records, whether it's, you know, whomever is out there supporting the arts, it's going to come with, in the very beginning, in how that art or that artist hits that person. It starts there. And if whatever is presented to that person doesn't pique their interest, doesn't sound good, whatever it is, that's it. You know, and you can't make that change. And you can't tell that person that they're not professional or they should do it a different way and that particular connection on that particular day with that person that I've had great respect for, talk about a lot of industry things, went south. And I was like, that it should have never happened. That conversation should never happen because it had nothing to do with him.
Right.
And because he chose to take it there, it now has put a wedge between what I think about him.
How awesome.
You know, and it didn't have to go that direction. And so this is part of my learning process and what I'm doing, and especially now stepping out as an A&R representative for a international record label that has about 5-6 record labels underneath its umbrella. This isn't like Spectra is one record label. Like,
right.
It has an, it's an, Spectra Music Group is an, is just the mothership. It's the umbrella over, you know, Spectra Records, Monarchy Records, Spectra Jazz, Spectra Canada, you know, I mean, it's, and so.
Break it down for them, girl.
You know, I take what I do serious. They didn't just come to me because they thought, oh, let's just bring on somebody who just loves art.
Right.
You know, some people may say, how'd she get a position like that? I got it because I work hard.
Yeah.
I got it because I'm committed and I'm dedicated.
That's right. Yeah. It's like I said at the beginning, you know, they came to you because they said, hey, we like your ear. We like the way that you choose music, and we want you to choose some for us. You know, it's more than a notion for a record label to trust that, you know, and I'm breaking it down for people because I want us to go back and touch on presentation and approaching you because that's really crucial. But I really want people to understand a little bit more about that whole process and why it's important. When you see artists, when you see someone say that they work with a record label and they're responsible for signing people and everything, what that record label has said is, we're trusting you with our money.
Mm-hmm.
You tell us this person is good, we're going to invest the money into that person. Because that's really what it is. So this
exactly.
is a sign of business. They have given Lady Flava their checkbook and said, here, spend our money. Now, friend or foe, you have to be able to understand that everybody can't go and that she has to now become a little more critical of the quality of the art that she brings to this level. Every art has a different level. You know, I mean, and that's remember I said about my show, I didn't want to have a show where people would just call in and talk. And don't misunderstand me when I say just call in. I didn't want to have that format, that platform, because there's already that platform of people calling in. I mean, there are people that do it. Like I said, you got that award-winning show from Tiffany. You have you. You have... oh, God, so many other people. I can't even think of them all, and I'm sorry. Forgive me if you're listening and I forgot your name. The radio show host where you can call in and read your poetry and share. You know, I wanted the next level for the people who record and would like to have the music a little bit more in rotation. So I don't talk. I introduce myself at the beginning of my show, and I run the music straight through. You know, and I'll post on Facebook who you've listened to. Now, every now and then I'll come in and break it up and share some things. But saying that to say that art goes through different levels. Okay, so now you're on a different level. Now you're no longer the lady that has the radio show and blog talk. Now you're responsible for saying to a company, a multi-million-dollar international company, I think this person is worth you putting on your label. So now it's a whole different thing. You know, the music that was really good for your show may not be good on an international
level. Well, exactly. And that's the challenge. That's the challenge is that you have to have the whole package.
Right.
And even if I submit you, it doesn't mean you get signed because
right.
it goes through a reviewing process, you know, once it hits them. And
right.
there are several people that get involved at that point,
right.
past myself. The thing is that if you submit to me and I agree and believe that you should be submitted, that means I'm willing to connect my name to you.
Exactly.
And that's really a big deal to me. Just
mm-hmm.
like when that literary conference went bad,
mm-hmm.
that was really hard on me because I publicly put myself out, you know, on the internet to in my own city on
right.
that particular event, you
right.
know, and so that was really hard for me when it went bad. And
mm-hmm.
so I try really, really hard now when it comes to what I'm doing with Spectra, you know, because I've been thinking this through. How am I going to do this? Like,
mm-hmm.
How am I going to make this make sense? And I'm creating my own team behind the scenes that if I kind of question something, maybe I will send some music to somebody else to have a second ear. But the
right.
bottom line is it has to get past me to even consider doing that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if I feel I need to have a second ear, listen to something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I'm kind of developing my own, you know, process. And as I go through this, it's being twerked. I did say twerk. Oh, my God, tweak.
Yes, it is. In the Miley Cyrus way.
It's being tweaked. You know,
yeah.
as I run into certain things or whatever, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But the bottom line is that I have a new appreciation for some of the people in the industry that
mm-hmm.
I didn't necessarily get in the very beginning.
Mm-hmm.
There are record labels out there and distribution companies that I talk to all the time,
mm-hmm.
and you know I have relationships with. And there is a gentleman that keeps it very short and sweet. You know, when I talk to him on the phone, when we connect through email or messenger or whatever, it's very short and sweet. There's not a whole lot of dialogue, not a lot of words used. This is
yes.
what I can do. This is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm offering you. It basically,
mm-hmm.
it's like, okay, I made the offer or this is, you know, whatever, and you take it or you leave it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's it. And I thought,
mm-hmm.
that's just really interesting because I wasn't used to connecting with people who kind of communicated that way. Now I get it. And the funny thing is I had to send him a message. I said, you know what, I really appreciate you. And I said,
mm-hmm.
I didn't appreciate you necessarily in the very beginning, but I get you
mm-hmm.
now. And
mm-hmm.
I appreciate your style because it makes sense. It cuts down on confusion, and it leads to really no misunderstandings because he's
right.
very clear
right.
in what it is that he's saying and he's doing.
Right.
I never really wanted to go that way because you can tell I'm a talker, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to be able to share. I want to be able to express,
mm-hmm.
you know, and all of those things. But the bottom line is that if I do that, I'm going to be doing that for a whole lot of people.
True.
I was told by this particular person the other day, like, okay, when I said no, then I should be able to give an answer. My answer was simple. I said, the music didn't have a relevance to me, and I didn't feel it had a sellability on a national and an international level.
Okay.
That was my answer.
Fair enough.
Okay. They weren't happy with that.
Okay.
I needed to take it further. I needed to tell the artist and their manager what they could do differently so they could be on the level of being able to be considered for a record label.
Mm-hmm.
I said, that's not my job.
Right.
I did my job.
Okay.
I have 387 artists to listen to when I get off of this show with you, Neil.
Oh, my God. How many?
If I take the time for every single artist that is submitting to Spectra, whether they're submitting to Spectra's Sonic Bid site or whether they're submitting to Lady Flava directly,
mm-hmm.
do you know how much time I'm going to have to take to do that?
Oh, my gosh.
That's not my job.
Right, right, right.
My job was to listen to the music and see if it's good enough to move on to be submitted to Spectra Music.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I'm wrong for that.
No,
you know,
never.
And it, you know what I mean. And it's like everybody's going to have their opinion,
right?
Everybody's going to have their opinion, and the thing is that maybe at some point, as the money starts coming in, and I can start hiring some people to work for me,
mm-hmm.
and with me, Maybe we can have an artist development, you know, division or you know, capabilities,
right.
you know, or whatever.
Right.
But am I going to take the time? So out of, I listened to 75 artists the other day. Out of those 75, two were okay. Did I think that they deserved to be pushed on? Not necessarily.
Right.
But two out of 75 out of those 387 or whatever I need to go through. Now, most of the people that I've said no to just say thank you for your time and consideration. That's the way it should be. But for somebody to challenge me and say, I need to do this or I need to do that because I said no to a friend's artist, just went out. Like, no.
Right.
That's not my responsibility. And the thing is I was okay with saying that.
And you should be, as you should be. Now, and let's touch on that for a minute. Presentation. The calling card, your first impressions or lasting impressions, and the calling card of an artist is crucial.
Some of us think
that it's our art, when in fact it's not. So now you being on that end, let's educate a little bit. You know, we've shared some horror stories. So now let's educate them just a little bit. If somebody wanted to submit to you music for your consideration, give them some do's and don'ts. Let's start with the do. This is what you should do. What should they do?
Well, even if it comes to just, you know, I think you saw what I had posted the other night, Neo, that I was targeting the hip-hop community.
Right.
Even if you're just submitting to a radio show host or a radio station, I think there is a format. And it's not that you have to go by my specific words that I had put out there. But basically I'm like, you know, saying, you know, I would like, you know, I'm sending you some music along with my EPK for consideration for airtime on your radio station. You know, I am submitting this track, you know, and give out the titles of the tracks. Make sure that they are produced well. This is where I think that there is an issue with production levels. I think that there are people who think it is done well. And when it comes and it's sent to us, maybe it is in the format that it's sent, you know, whatever it is, there could be static to it. The mixing isn't blended well.
Right.
I think that you need to step outside of your group of people or your homies, or I don't know how your music is being produced, but that is one thing that if you want to take it to the next level, you really need to think about.
That's true.
Because that's one of the things that the record label is listening to, is the clarity of the production of your music. You know, so that's kind of, in a sense, have an EPK. A lot of artists don't have EPKs. Have an EPK. They're inexpensive. I have been told time and time again recently that artists, because they're starving artists, they don't have the money to pay for the EPK. Find a way to do that. If you are an artist that is wanting to take it to the next level, find a way to come up with that money.
Right.
If you have to go to Walmart and you get a prepaid Visa card, you know, that you use to pay to have a Sonic Bid account or to pay for Reverb Nation, whatever it is, because I know a lot of people don't have the capability to pay online. I get that. But somehow you're going to have to figure some things out if you want to take it to the next level and to be taken serious. So when somebody says, send quality tracks, send an EPK, that's what they want. I had an artist send me a whole folder in a zip file of stuff. And I said, do you have an EPK? He says, well, you have everything. No, I'm asking for an EPK. You know, they're not saying, oh, I want your Reverb Nation page. That's the other thing that the artists are asking me. Can I use my Reverb Nation page? All the information's there. They're asking for an EPK.
Right.
Now, your Reverb Nation page may work for certain things, depending on who you're submitting to.
Sure.
A website might work for certain things, depending
mm-hmm.
on who you're submitting to.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If somebody is saying specifically, I want this, this is what you need to provide.
Right, right,
in
right.
many cases.
Right.
Now, of course, if you're submitting to me as a radio show host, no, I'm not going to be that picky. But at least give me an artist bio.
Mm-hmm.
Because for me, I like to talk about the artists I play.
Right.
You
right.
know, I want to tell your story, because if I give your story and get people familiar with you, to me that in a sense makes an artist stand out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm playing you because, and this is where they're from, and this is what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm going to show some enthusiasm about you if I choose to play you.
Right.
But when it comes to what is required for Spectra
mm-hmm.
to first come through to me,
mm-hmm.
they want an EPK. They want 3 quality tracks.
Mm-hmm.
They want your government name. They want your artist name. They want your contact info. They want, so email, phone number. They want to see if you have a website, and they want to know what your social networks are.
Right.
So, those things, this is where when people have not gotten jobs because a potential employer
mm-hmm.
went and saw their Facebook page.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is where it's going to tell what is your online presence.
Right. Right.
And so, you know, so those are the things that they're kind of wanting to know. They're
okay.
going to do some research on you.
Mm-hmm.
If I say, I believe in this artist, you know, then it's going to go to a different level once I submit you to them, because they're spending money.
Exactly. You got the checkbook.
You know, and so
mm-hmm.
they're going to want to know, do
right.
you have a following? How is this mm-hmm. you present yourself online?
Right.
Are
right.
people paying attention to you?
Exactly.
You know, and you know, what is your presence like online? Do you have your package down? Do
mm-hmm.
you have a website that's professional?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all these different things, and so... You know, these are things that, you know, that they're kind of looking for. And
mm-hmm.
So for me, I want you to sell me on who you are.
Right.
I want to see videos. I want to see, like, everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but send it to me in a way that's not overwhelming.
Right.
But I want you to sell me on you to them. Be able to have all that information that Spectra is going to require at my fingertips, so I don't
right.
have to come back to you and say, oh, do you have a Facebook page? Oh, do you have a website? Oh, you didn't send me your EPK. Send me those things.
That's right.
You know, and so that's if right. you are unsure about that, you can go to my website at flavanews.com and hit the artist service page. It
mm-hmm.
has a link to a page on there of what I'm looking for and what Spectra is looking for to be submitted to them. So the first thing, the first things that you really need is an EPK
mm-hmm.
that is complete
mm-hmm.
and really well-produced tracks.
Okay, now let me give the artist a little bit of information, because, you know, like I said, we want to now empower. We've told you how you hurt yourself. Now we want to tell you how you help yourself. If you don't know how to do an EPK, if you're not even sure what an EPK is, here's some websites you can go to. You can go to sonicbids.com. That's SONICBIDS.com. You can host your EPK there. Now, SonicBid is a little more advanced than some of the other ones, but there are sites where you can build an EPK for free and then post it to SonicBid. An easy one is Artist Card. ArtistCard. There's an E in it, artistcard.com. You can go to PowerPressKit.com.
all of these places will let you build one for free. Now, you'll have to pay to host it, but you will be able to build it for free. Some, not all, you have to know how to we're talking to you now about presentation. Some record labels will accept an EPK via email, and that may save you some money. But if not, you need to know who you're approaching. And what she said was really critical. If you want to submit to Lady Flavor, you need to go to her website and see what she requires for her label. Know the other important thing is knowing what label you're presenting to.
Right.
I know that I remember when I was in Cleveland, and the record industry came to Cleveland. I call that the nightmare on my street because it could have been so beautiful and it was so awful, you know. I'm sorry, Cleveland showed up so bad. And here these people are, and people stand up in their chairs like, and the industry don't pay us no attention. Y'all need to support us and blah blah blah. And people are, you know, jumping up and down. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it took the record label executive from Bad Boy Records. He said, well, we're here right now. You're wasting our time, and they're fussing about us not supporting you, and we're here right now. Do you have your material? Is it ready? You know?
Right.
And the guy went on the fuss, like, you know, we need your help. We need your support. He said, listen, and he used a perfect example. He said, when I signed Young Jeezy, he had already moved 100,000 units of his project.
Right.
What have you done?
Right.
You know, help yourself. And going back to knowing your label, one of the other ladies up there, she said, I have a garbage bag. And they literally had garbage bags. I had a garbage bag full of your demos. You've given me demos. You've given me this, that, and the other. And some of you have walked up to me. She said, you're dressed in your gear. You've got your pants hanging off your butt and gold teeth and everything else. You never even asked me what type of label I have. And I'm here for country. You know, and wait, and girl,
right?
And then she shut down the room, lady. She said, "I sign country and western artists."
Right.
Girl, you can hear a pin drop in that place.
Right. Right.
And you do. You need to know your market. You know. Now, I always say when I'm asking people to submit to me, I let them know I play everything except rap. Rap is not at the forefront of my format. It's not that I don't like rap. I love the art. I don't like 98% of the artists in it because
right.
I think that it's a wasted genre. It's
right.
an amazing art, and too many people are in it for the wrong reason with no message. But
mm-hmm.
for me, there are so many platforms for it that I choose not to get in the competition of it. I'd rather
Understand.
Give it to neo-soul and jazz and blues and, you know, more of that thing. So you do need to know what you're talking about. Now, Lady has been an amazing friend to us. She has been on the air for 4 years bringing us quality music and quality spoken word. You know, quality is my word. You know what I mean? Every radio show host has their favorite word. Mine is just quality. You know, it's quality that she has brought us and maintained great, you know, friendships and chat and everything else on the Facebook and social media networks. And, yes, some artists you don't need to get too close to. You know, I mean, I do have artists I play their material, and I don't want to know them because I'm scared that I might not like what I see and all of that. But now hear me, people. Now we're talking about next-level stuff, okay? She has gone next level. And so if you want to stay in that flow, you need to go next level. You do not. You have the right to you know, criticize and talk about and all of that all you want to. Oh, she done did this, she did that. You know, okay, well, look, I applaud her because I'd rather see her move to another level, even if I can't go with her, than stay where she's at. That's not the mark of a quality artist. Your progression is what shows that you are developing as an artist. So if you want to submit to Lady Flavor, go first. I'm going to tell you what to do first. She said have an EPK. Let me tell you what you need to do first. Go fetch your music. Read about that label.
Right.
Find out what artists they represent. Find out what they're looking for. Look at their track record. Look at the umbrella companies. Do your research. Find out who you're submitting to. You may not even like Spectra.
Exactly.
They may not even house what you do.
And it's so funny that you said that, Neil, and I appreciate you saying that part. Only one artist so far who is interested in submitting to me has gone and looked up Spectra.
How about that?
And I thought that's really interesting. You know, just don't, just because I'm a representative of them, it doesn't necessarily mean that it works for you.
Exactly.
The other thing is that as I get my foot in the door with Spectra, I will understand everything more. I'm
mm-hmm.
still new,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
And we're still working and blending and growing together, you know, and so as I move forward with them and as, in a sense, as I prove to them,
mm-hmm.
You know, the talents that I'm sending,
mm-hmm.
then, you know, then that relationship with Spectra grows for me too. But I agree with you. First, man, go Google Spectra. Go check
yes.
out who they are and what they do, who they represent. And that
right.
will help you.
Yeah. And you're growing as an artist yourself. I mean, like you said, you're still learning. You're still growing. So you have
uh-huh.
to come in that door the same way that we have to come in that door.
Right.
You know, now I've been approached by a couple of people that wanted to work with me and you know what, we want to take you to the next level and we want to do this and we want to do that. I've been approached by booking agents, by managers, by record labels, by A&R people. And a lot of times I've had to go thank you, but no thank you. And sometimes
yeah.
people are like, are you crazy? No, okay, but look, they house one person, they house hip-hop.
Right.
I'm not a hip-hop artist.
Right.
I have one song on my whole CD that is hip-hop.
Right.
Now, my CD is diverse. And in an interview I did, somebody asked me, well, why do you have hip-hop and R&B and jazz and, you know, a little rock edge? I said, this was my calling card. This is my introduction. I want you to see that I am not in a box. I can do all of these different things. However, if you really pay attention to the project, it does have one common thread, and that's jazz. You know?
Right.
And so as a result of that, I need to be affiliated with people who are in jazz. I don't need to go to a rap label. They won't know
right.
what to do.
Right.
You know, I don't need to go to a country western label. They won't know what to do with me. Yes, I can do those things, and it shows my chops in those things, but that's not where I need to be housed. So you're learning as an A&R person where your skill set fits in. They know you have people. That's why they came
right.
to you. So there's
right.
time for you to introduce those people. You are first introducing yourself, learning how
right.
they work, learning their whole system and everything. So you have to do your homework.
Definitely.
Artist, you need to do your homework. Do your homework. I'm telling you from what I know of this woman, and I know her from a working relationship and just a little bit of personal relationship. I mean, she and I are not like her and Alvin. We don't call each other and chit-chat all the time. But I know quality people when I meet quality people. I'm telling you, lady is a quality person. And if you're going to approach her about taking your art to the next level, if you've been loyal and faithful, you've called in every week and you've shared and you've posted, you've promoted, you've supported her and everything else, do not necessarily think that entitles you to go that next level with her.
Right, right.
It's not an entitlement. And I'm not chastising. I'm saying be real about where your art is versus theirs. Go ahead, lady.
Oh, before we go any further, I mean, this has been an absolutely great conversation, and I appreciate it because this is something, in a sense, again, Neil, I really wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
Because I just today for me, it was really important to just be really honest and open, you know, and tell my story in hopes that you can understand me better. You may not like me. I'm
yes.
okay with that. I'm not here to be liked by everybody.
Right.
But if you wondered about me, today is a good day, you know, to have a better understanding. For many people, you know, especially people like Alvin who started with me at Flava Coffee House, you've seen me on my journey. You
mm-hmm.
saw me as a struggling business owner. You've seen me cry. You've
mm-hmm.
seen me depressed, you
mm-hmm.
know. You've seen me lose a house that I owned, you know, mm-hmm. and all things behind being a business owner and behind supporting the arts.
Right.
I've grown so much from those days. I built Flava in 2003.
Okay.
I closed her doors in 2008. I jumped mm-hmm. immediately on the bandwagon of supporting artists.
Mm-hmm.
And I've grown so much, you know, and I say it all the time, people are paying attention. When you don't think they're paying attention, they pay attention. And where they're paying attention to me the most is honestly on Blog Talk Radio.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
My following has grown internationally.
Wonderful.
The archive listens to my shows is off the chain. I mean, I'm in awe sometimes. I'm like,
mm-hmm.
you know, really?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, before this year is out, I'll hit 100,000 listens.
All right.
You know, and so, you know, it is something that I take really serious. This isn't a game for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I pay attention. I've learned and grow. I have industry people in my ear who have educated me. I have people I can pick up the phone and I can call and ask questions if I don't understand.
Right.
That are really honestly living and living pretty good off of what it is that they do. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to run out of time on the show, but we can run longer past what you can hear live, and it'll go into the archive. So I'm just going to tell people, if you want to listen to the show, because it'll probably go into the archives, please call into 347-857-1189. There are people who've been holding on the line who've raised their hands, so I am so very sorry. Let me go ahead and just jump in and bring you guys in
before
we run out. And, Stephen, I'm going to open up your phone line even though you took your hand down. So, Stephen, I'm so sorry to keep you on hold for so long, my friend.
Hey, how you doing? Am I on?
You're on, finally, huh?
Hey. I just wanted to stop by and congratulate you on, first of all, this was a great show today. You guys, Neo, you guys, y'all work good together. You guys work real good together. Great show. Flav, you know, you and I have been around for a couple, 2 or 3 years together.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest thing I remember is the first time you ever interviewed me on your show. What impressed me so much about you was the fact that you actually took the time to read the stuff that I sent you. And you asked me questions about things in my bio and everything. It was like, man, I can't believe she actually read the whole thing. That was so cool, so refreshing, and it you make your people feel important, and I want to thank you for that. I want to thank you for all the things that you've done for me, for playing my music, for helping me through some bad times, and being there with me with some good times. We've been through some ringers together.
Yes, we have, Stephen.
Yeah, but keep your faith. Keep doing what you're doing. You have been put on this journey for a reason, and it's all going to work out for you in the end. It's starting to work out for you now. You're starting to see a lot of difference from Flava News now than what it was just a year ago.
Sure, I agree.
You know, so your hard work, your dedication, your faith is going to pay off.
That's right.
I appreciate that, Stephen. And for those of you that don't know, this is Stephen Jerome Ferguson of SJF Music that's on the phone with me. And
oh, hey.
And he and I, you know, we have worked on projects together. You know, I've had Stephen on the leopard carpet a few times. I'm going to have Stephen on the leopard carpet again soon. And, you know, but Stephen is a quality artist and producer. Mm-hmm. And he, in a sense, helped me understand what clarity of sound should sound like and be like when it comes to music. Mm-hmm. So he is somebody who has taught me behind the scenes to understand music more. And so I appreciate and value him so very much. And, you know, and he's been a big supporter to me as somebody growing in this industry and becoming a part of this industry, but he's been a big supporter of me on a personal level too, he and his wife. And so I really, you know, appreciate and love Stephen so very, very much. And he is a godsend and a blessing for me to have in my life, you know, all the way from out there in Kansas. But, you know, so thank you so much, Stephen. And thank you, you know, for hanging on the phone for so long, because as you could see, Neil and I are talkers, huh?
I'm sorry.
But you know what? It doesn't matter if you guys are talkers, but you've been talking about something.
Mm-hmm.
Things that people need to know.
Yeah.
And it's one thing before I get off here, I want to kind of chime in on when you guys were talking about the do's and don'ts of what, you know, you got 387 songs you got to listen to?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, bless your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Your ears are going to be bleeding, baby.
No, and it's funny, you know. I mean, in just even that experience of it, I had to learn what I need to do to take care of me, you know. And so when I listened to those 75 artists in a row, I said, you know what, I am turning this computer off. I am not listening to any more music. I went and laid in my bed and watched TV.
That's about all, yeah.
You know what I mean? And so I'm learning to step away, you know.
Yeah.
And knowing that it's okay. I guess that's the blessing of being able to work for yourself, you know, in a sense, is that you can kind of set your own schedule. I think the other thing that people don't know about me, or maybe they do, just depending on how closely you follow me, I take care of my elderly father, who's 91. So my mornings start out very, very early.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have four generations of Koshis that live in the house where I am. You know, my children, my granddaughter, my dad. You know,
yeah.
And so I help support all of them. But, you know, but my dad is my biggest mom, my biggest priority. He comes before anybody
right.
does or anything.
And he should. He should. And
you
people
know,
need to understand that, too.
Right,
they can't expect you to give up on that just to take care of what they want.
Right,
and you don't have to do it.
Right, and then now I do help my brother-in-law out with my two little nephews that are two and four, you know, from time to time. You know, so my family is really important to me. So they come first, you know. Spectra's
right.
not asking me to stop being Lady Flava. Spectra's not asking me telling me I can't do Flava News or all the things that I do. You know, there are certain things, you know, and I signed contracts, you know, when it comes to being involved with them. I take that very serious, you know, so.
Right, you should.
My life is very full. I don't have a dull moment ever in my life, you know, and so.
You haven't had a dull moment in a long time.
I know it. But when the person that I spoke about earlier said to me, you should take the time to inform the artist what they need to do to get to the point to be the it factor, I'm like, I was so cool with just saying, no, that's not my responsibility.
And it's not. It's not. And I know you guys were talking about, you know, back in the old Motown days, they used to do that. They would have, they would put you guys through etiquette classes. I mean, all kind of stuff that they
right,
did.
Right.
But, you know, most record labels don't do that kind of stuff anymore. You know, they kind of leave it up to you. to, okay, you want to be with us, then you need to get your game together and come to us right. If you don't, then the answer is going to be no. But one of the things I just wanted to say before I get off of here is that sometimes artists, especially musicians, recording artists, even spoken word artists sometimes, jazz artists, whatever, sometimes we can get confused about what is art and what is marketable.
Exactly. Thank you
for
saying that.
There's a difference.
There is a difference.
There could be a lot of art out there that's good, but it may not be marketable right now because of what the market is actually looking for.
Right.
It may be marketable 5 years from now, but it's not marketable now. Don't let that discourage you because record labels are saying no. The reason you should be creating this art in the first place is because of the sake of the art, not for the sake of marketability.
Right.
I've worked with some people that they'll say, okay, yeah, I got this idea for this song from this thing I heard on the radio, and I want to make it. You want to do that? Go right ahead. You know, I'm not interested in making my stuff sound like what's being played on FM radio every 45 minutes. God gave me a talent, and I am not going to disrespect him by just trying to make it to the point where I think everybody else will like it.
Right.
It's
no,
not
and
about
I,
that.
And I appreciate you saying that, Stephen. You know, I think that there are different reasons why, you know, people create. But the biggest reason I would hope is that you stay true to yourself and what you feel is right and not compromise yourself because you see somebody else twerking, you know, or whatever it is to make some money off of it. And just because I say no, it doesn't mean that, you know, there isn't another record label out there.
Somebody else may say yes.
Exactly. It doesn't mean that at some point you could come back and revisit it. I mean, it's just like this particular situation that, you know, I faced this past week. I told the manager of that artist, I love the sound. I said, I would play your artists on my radio show.
Right.
But I will not submit them to Spectra.
I didn't say that I would not
play them or support them in any fashion.
Right.
But for some reason, I guess that felt like a slap in the face when I said I wouldn't, you know, play them, you know, I wouldn't submit them to Spectra. Then everything just blew up from there, you know.
Right.
And stuff. And so, you know, again, you know, if you have an interest in being heard on the radio, I don't play everybody that's picture perfect or pristine in sound and production.
Right.
I don't. You just kind of have to have that factor that catches my attention.
Right. Yeah, I do too. You know, sometimes I hear a spoken word poet and, like, there's some poets I know, they don't record, but they have quality videos out there. You know, so I'll incorporate that into my show. Now, that video might be live, and the microphone in that coffee house could have been horrible, and you got cat calls and screaming and everything else in there. That's something that a record label can't use, but the listener can enjoy it because it's good material.
Right.
And something that he brought up that was really powerful when you say that just because it's good material on the air here doesn't mean that it is professional or international label. Daniel Azur said that the other night. He said, when I'm looking at artists, I'm looking at, is this something that's viable? You know, can it last? Can it stand the test of time? Barry Gordy had a listening group, the Quality Control. They would sit and listen to the music, and they talked about it in his biography. They showed it on the movie that they did. He would always ask the question, if you have $5 left, are you going to buy a sandwich or are you going to buy this song? And somebody, that was a determining factor.
Would they rather eat or would they rather have the music? And
right.
We need to think, you know, people need to think about that. I think the worst thing you can do as an artist is subject yourself only to people who love you and will never, ever tell you the truth.
Right.
That's the worst thing you can do.
Yeah.
It's much easier, of course, to present yourself to somebody that's going to say, oh, you're amazing, you're doing
right.
great things, whatever, I love it,
right.
you should write a book, you know,
yeah.
you should sing, you know,
yeah.
or whatever. And but if you really, really want to know, if you think that you can take it, really step out of your comfort zone and present yourself to somebody that doesn't know you.
Exactly. Or, and I present myself to people who don't, they're not necessarily in the jazz genre, or
mm-hmm.
they don't necessarily like poetry. Those are the people that I've presented my stuff to them sometimes. Listen, I want you to listen to this. It's something that you're not into. Give
mm-hmm.
me your honest opinion.
Right.
You know, and then when people tell you they don't like it, don't get offended. Ask them why. You might find out something that helps you take your art to the next level.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've had people tell me, you know what, I didn't like this, and this is why. I didn't
right.
like this, and this is why. I had my album reviewed by a major record label, and they came back to me, and one of them came back to me and said, you know what, we like this, but we feel like you're holding back. And I'm like, how so? And I'm thinking, okay, I poured my guts in this thing. And what was funny was I presented it as a spoken word artist, and they were like, okay, we can hear you can sing, and you held back on it. So your next, when you come back to us, we want to hear you guts out. You know, give it to us, give it to us. And
right.
I had to laugh because one of my friends said the very same thing. You know, so people may see something in you that can help you develop as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
If Flava says, you know what, this is good, but I can't present it because of this, don't get an attitude. Take it as a challenge to go forward, because if she even gave you any input that could help you go forward, that's saying that, hey, there is something viable there.
Right.
And you have to take it as constructive criticism.
Right.
You know, you have to take it as constructive. A couple of years ago, I decided to do something that probably a whole lot of artists would not ever do,
mm-hmm.
was I had a jazz piece that I kind of, I thought was good. I thought it was one of the
mm-hmm.
best things I've ever done.
Mm-hmm.
And I hooked up with a professor of jazz from Juilliard Music School on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Submitted it to him. I said, I just need your opinion. And it was kind of like a kindergartner doing a crayon drawing and submitted it to the Smithsonian Institute, the way I looked at it.
Hmm.
And he came back with about 3 pages of this is good, this is good, you need to work on this, you need to work on that. This you need to get rid of altogether. This you need to do this. You need to do that. You probably could do better with this, this, and this. And I went through that whole thing. And I think that was maybe about 3 years ago. And just that input from someone at that level, someone who teaches classical jazz at Juilliard Music School, it was some things in there that I thought were good that, you know, he told me I probably need to just stop doing altogether. And
mm-hmm.
there were a lot of things that I didn't think I was doing well that he thought I was doing extremely well.
Mm.
So I took all that and I learned, you have to learn from it. This whole thing is a learning experience. If it's a God-given talent, you still have to work on it.
Right.
You still have to put some effort into it. And
that's right.
One of the easiest ways you could tell is if you're working on your talent and it feels like hard work, it's probably not your talent. It's probably just something you want to do. or you think you might be good at.
Say that.
I love music. I've loved music ever since I was old enough to walk. I mean, I remember my father used to tell me that when I was little, I would crawl up on the piano and start hitting on the keys and stuff. And he tried to get my mother to get me out. She'd say, no, leave him alone, let him play. But I could go in the studio and be in there for 18 straight hours. And it feels like 4 or 5 hours.
Right.
When you're doing something that is your true love, your true gift, your true talent, it doesn't feel like work. If it feels like work to you, then you may need to rethink yourself.
Right.
Okay. And, guys, I got to get off here because I got to go back to work. But, I'm at work today. I'm just chilling. But, it's one thing I want to tell most of the artists, if any artists are listening right now, remember, it is not anybody else's responsibility to make you good at what you do. It's
right.
not anybody else's responsibility that you have all your ducks in a row, your EPK, website, email, all that stuff. It's your responsibility. You
exactly.
have to do the research. You have to go
exactly.
and look and see what these people want. Give them what they want.
Yes.
Okay? You could do a passable EPK in Microsoft Word.
Sure can.
With PowerPoint.
Sure can.
It won't cost you a dime. All you need
right.
is somebody that's got a computer, that's got one of those programs on it. Get yourself together, sit down, get you some nice photos, you can put it all in the doc, and you got it. It don't cost you
exactly.
a
dime. Exactly. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Create
Exactly. All you got to do is look at some examples. I mean, there's examples of EPKs and stuff all over the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
That we have the Internet to do research with, where we can look and see what other people are doing and just, use that as a template to put together your own package, and there you go. It takes 2 or 3 days to do the most,
Right.
So,
well, I appreciate you saying the research part, Stephen, because there are people that are coming out the woodwork on me right now asking me for venue information for, all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, if I could do the research for that information, you can too.
Right.
Exactly.
Unless you want to pay me for that information. Why is it okay for me to have come and found this information and to make my Rolodex, of contacts or whatever it is, and you can do the same. So, do the research. Find out. Educate yourself. Like Stephen would tell me, Flay, there's a YouTube for that. Go YouTube what it is that you're trying to learn to do.
It's a YouTube for everything.
Right.
All you got to do is just do the search for it.
Right.
But you got that reputation of you help everybody, and that was your reputation. That still is to a certain point, and there are people who are trying to take advantage of that.
Of course.
And I'm so proud of you. You've grown up right before my very eyes, my little sister.
I have grown up in front of your.
And I remember when you used to be on the radio, you would hardly talk, and now we can't get you to shut up. Oh, but you, my baby, though, I love you so much, you're my little sister, okay? And I got your back if ain't nobody else do.
That's love.
Okay? Know that. That's true. I won't die for you, but I will take a butt whipper for you. It's okay.
That's a good deal.
You guys, keep doing your thing and all that. I got to get back to work here. And Soldier.
Yes.
Lady.
Yes, sir.
Good. I've got some music I think you may be interested in a little while.
You need to send it to me. The email address is iWriteIt, EYEWRITEIT, iWriteIt, at Gmail. Send it to me.
Okay. Well, it's not quite ready yet. I'm going in a little different direction.
Okay.
Kind of well, I don't want to tell you already, but I'll send you a couple of pieces. Let's check them out.
Do that. And make sure and connect with me on Facebook. You know, let's stay connected. I'm all for quality, and I know Lady plays quality, so consider it done. Right. Just get in touch with me.
You ladies stay sweet, and hope to talk to you soon, okay?
Okay, take care. I think we may have lost Lady, but she put us on mute and went and did something, but most definitely take care.
Okay. So,
okay.
Bye-bye.
Lady, are you still there? Okay, I don't know if we lost her or not, but I know that after a while, Blog Talk will kind of shut you off and you go off into the archives. I am going to try to reach out to her on Facebook and see what happened. Not entirely sure, but if you just tuned in or if you go back in the archives and you listen, we have been talking with the amazing representative of A&R Spectrum Music, radio show host, Sister Girl, really cool lady. She goes by Lady Flava. Today is her four-year anniversary being on the air, and we appreciate her, and we want you to know, Lady, if you can hear me. And she just sent me a message. She said her mic went dead. Oh, my goodness. Isn't that awful? Girl, pick up a cell phone or something. I'm not going to hang up. I'm going to stay online. She's talking to me online here. So, okay. She said she's going to open up something for me to talk to. Okay. So I'm just letting her know. Let me know what to do, and we will keep this going. Those of you all who are still on the line, I know she still has you in there. We are going to have you call in and keep talking. But she said the call from area code 818 is open. 818, who's on the line?
I think that might be me. This is Lala.
Hey, Lala, how you doing?
I'm good. And gosh darn it, Flava, are you on? I'm hoping she can hear. Can she hear?
She can hear you. I'm talking to her. I'm messaging her now. She can hear you. Her microphone
okay.
Went dead. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, I tweeted her this morning. I was up with the coffee ready and ready for this. I see this as a special time, four-year mark anniversary for her. I want to spend this a couple minutes to congratulate her, respect. It's been a great show because it's allowed me to sit here. I have sat here. Just as she has a lot to do today, I got some work to do with my EPKs. So I'm listening, though, Flava, and you took it all the way back to 2008 when I first started getting to know you via that literature conference, which you did an amazing job hosting. And I just want to tell you, as your sister in Christ, that I can relate to you with disappointments and that when we stay strong, that God makes all things work together.
That's right.
And he's done that for you. And when you closed your coffee shop down, I remember thinking, wow. So, and she was public about, I'm not sure when I'll open again. And then she started the radio show. And I don't know if I've ever shared this with her, but I remember thinking, you know, that's a good move because it's her essence anyway. The least
right.
spot in Lake City Way is just four walls and some plumbing without the essence of Lady Flava. So she moved it to radio. And
okay.
I've always admired that about her because she did a shift, you know. And honestly, I was brought into the literary conference to help promote it. But I'm just not a big reader. I just, you know, it's hard for me to sit down and read a book. So I admire people that can do that, and I admire those authors that sit and write. I'm not much of a reader, but I am a music lover. So I've watched her evolve, and I've watched her cheer on. She is truly the biggest cheerleader for these indie artists, especially out of the Northwest. And though I haven't always reached out to her, I've been quietly watching her, and I admire her, and
okay.
I can relate to her. And I can relate to her as a woman in this industry because it's tough. And I'm 15 years into it now, and it's tough. You got to tape your wrists up and put those boxing gloves on sometimes, because it is tough. There's a lot of egos out there. There's a lot of pride out there. And I mean, when I say pride, I mean it in a bad way, the egotistical pride, because like her, I also take pride in what I do with integrity.
Mm-hmm.
And there just comes a point in time where, like for me personally, I've had to tell the Lord, my reputation is your responsibility. I can't be stressing these people because they will try and take you down with lies. They'll try and take you down with derogatory statements. And I just want to be over here and tell her I'm cheering her on and I'm proud of her. My mother just passed in the end of September, and so I was in a whole other world. And I went out of town in October with a memorial. I'm not sure if she saw some of those postings. But as I came back and I'm moving forward, I saw these posts about her being signed to Spectre, and I'm like, "Woo! Look at God! Look at God! Look what's going on with my friend Susan."
Yeah,
so
I just want to
tell her I'm proud of her, and I want to take this moment to congratulate her and reflect.
Okay.
It's been an amazing 4 years, and it is a journey, and I can relate because my personal journey since 2008 has taken many directions I did not expect.
She's emailing me right now. She's telling me to tell you thank you, Lala, and she appreciates you. I hate to cut you off, but we are in the archive, and we have people waiting, but she told me to make sure and let you know thank you. She appreciates it, and big hugs. She said thank you, Lala.
Okay, kisses, and I will hope to see her Tuesday night at the Black Stack Show.
Okay. All right. She's typing, so she'll respond to me in a minute. I'll let you know. I'm going to go ahead and take another call.
You bet.
Thank you again, Lala, for calling in.
Thank you, Mia. Have a blessed day.
You're welcome.
You too.
And now we're going to open up from caller area code 510. 510, who's on the line? Hello, 510, are you there?
Oh, yes. Hi, soldier. This is Erica.
Hey, Erica. How you doing, sister?
I'm good. How are you? Lady Flavor, I just want to say congratulations on your four-year anniversary. And you know I pay attention to you and everything that you be posting and on your radio shows. So you always have to learn from people who are already doing it. So I just thank you for being who you are and doing what you're doing because, you know, it helps me as a guide. You know, it's like that song, Mary, Mary, when they say, you know, talk to people who've already been doing it, you know, try your thing, and then, you know, keep going back to the drawing board if you need to redo something. So I just want to say thank you. I was listening to y'all, and there were two points that I just wanted to share some my opinion on when you guys were talking about constructive criticism with the artist and, you know, how sometimes the artist, like, they don't take heed to it, you know, in a more positive way. They look at it as you're just, like, you know, bad-mouthing them or just saying that they don't, you know, they're not going to make it or whatever. And from my experience in working with artists and producing these shows and everything, I think a lot of it comes from just them being artists and being, you know, in the time and day that we live in general, everything is about I, me. I can be a superstar because I'm an artist. Whether I have good quality talent or not. So, and ego is in everybody. So if they're an artist and they already have an ego issue, let's say Kanye for an example, you know, that's an extreme, but, you know, a big ego, if you tell them that their music isn't, like, up to par, their performance could be a little better, you know, they do take that as, like, who are you? Why are you telling me that, you know, because they already feel like they're on some kind of an A-list celebrity type of a level, which in one aspect is good to have confidence, but you don't want to be cocky enough or have too much confidence where you're not open to get information to make you better. So I think it's like a catch-22 because as an artist, you're supposed to be confident. You're supposed to feel like you are the best one going to hit that stage. You know, if you're on a bill with four other people, even if you're opening up for someone, you're supposed to rock that stage as if that show is your show, you know.
But at the
same time, you know, you have to have some type of humbleness and being able to, like, let your guard down to be able to receive that information.
So I think it's like a catch-22. So to and what I kind of played with the idea is how we do iRock Tuesdays is we kind of we're able to weed out that kind of unnecessariness. I don't even know if that's a word, but I just made it up. But we weed out artists like that. So for iRock Tuesdays, it is an open mic, yes, but we selectively pick our artists. If we do not book you, and even though you sign up that night, it's not guaranteed that you'll get to perform because the artists that we actually reached out and booked for these shows, for the show, they're going to be guaranteed performance because iRock is all about guaranteed performance and guaranteed radio play. So we're able to weed out all of those artists that aren't up to par, don't have quality, don't have an EPK, don't hustle on their own, don't promote. Like, we don't have time for that. At this point, there's so many artists, and especially in the Bay Area, it's so overly saturated to where it's like you have to be able to develop a system so you can not have to deal with all of that at the same time and just get to the artists that are serious about it. You know,
right.
So when I produce shows outside of iRock Tuesday, what I do, a lot of my research comes from actually going out to these events when I get invited to, or, you know, going to these open mics, looking at talent, you know, stuff like that. And then I get their information. Now, just because I get their information, it doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to book them, because at that point, it's like a stage process with me. I get your information if I really like what I already saw or what I already heard. And now I'm going to follow you and pay attention a little bit more. Like, do you promote? Do you have a team? You know, do you go out to? Are you shaking hands and kissing babies and doing all the politics stuff? Do you have a quality business ethic? And if I see all of that, then I might reach out to you and book you for a show.
Right.
You know? But if I do all of that and I don't see nothing, then I just can't do it, you know? And I learned a lot of being able to cipher out who are quality artists and who are not, or even thinking on that level, because of Lady Flavor. Because she posts things like that all the time. I'll keep saying she like she's not on the phone. But you're very consistent.
She is, and I'm going to bring her in a minute. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay. You're very consistent about what you believe in and what you stand for. And if I have learned anything from you, that is definitely one of them. And I've developed that to the point where it probably irritates some artists, or it probably rubs them the wrong way, because I'm not going to bend to please you. At the end of the day, this is our show, this is our event, or this is my show and my event, and it is what it is. You know, just because you're an artist and we're connected doesn't mean that I'm going to play you. It doesn't mean that you're going to get on the show, you know. So I think that kind of has something to do with it. But other than that, that's really all I had to say. I was listening to y'all, and I was doing research and stuff because I'm in Vegas, you know, visiting, because I'm about to move out here. So I was doing research, and that's why I wasn't able to chime in earlier or anything. But now I got some free time, so I was like, okay, let me talk to y'all.
That's okay. She told me to make sure and give you hugs. I'm gonna call her, but before I hung up with you, I just want to let you know she said thank you and major hugs. And I need to have you. We'll talk later. We'll talk later because I know there are other people waiting. We spent most of the show talking to each other. We still got a bunch of people on the line. But you and I will talk later about what you're doing with your radio show and everything else. But love you, girl. Thank you so much for calling in.
Love you.
Okay.
Yes, yes. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to be listening to y'all, so keep them coming.
Okay, will do. Will do. Those of you all on the line, I need you to still stay on. What I'm going to do is we're going to use technology and do what I call a jimmy rig. Now, her microphone has gone out, but Lady Flava is still on the line. So you all are going to hear just a brief moment of silence. What I'm going to do is three-way her into my phone call. That way she can sit and talk with us, okay? So hold on just 1 second. Don't go anywhere. We are right here. Lady Flava, if you've got some music you want to play, you can go ahead and play that until I can lock you in, okay? Hold on.
Been a skinny girl, I got curves. sea, clear across the world. But I'm a real strong sister with a big old dream. You should never judge a book by its cover, you see.
Yeah, let's stand all embracing my identity.
Cause ain't a damn thing false when it comes to me. Took a long time, now I'm feeling fancy free. Listen, let me tell you how I came to be. Guess what? I thought that I could never be like the girls on the screen. Straight hair, long legs, I felt so ashamed. Knew my hips would never match what the TV portrayed.
Flashback to when I was about 14.
I had fake long nails and a big old weave. I tried every diet trying to be size 10. Used to get so dizzy that my hands would spin. Cut off my hair, trimmed down my nails real low, hoping that my beauty would show. But today I can say that it feels so good to be me. I can say my curves are beautiful, they make me shine, they make me fine, and now I know that I'm just right.
This is Neo Soldier, and I am back. So I have figured out how to do this because I merged her in, and I didn't do it right. You know, we have to be creative here. We call it art. We call it art. So what I'm doing is I am calling her right now. I am dialing the line, and it says call not tangled up.
I really wanna know, but I can't let him know how. Thank you.